Hi, I'm Clacke. I'm here with Fluffy
Hi.
and Jamie.
Hello.
HPR uses RSS feeds and Atom feeds to get stuff into our podcatchers and other places. And when you do that, you need to make a choice. If you want to have a full feed that covers all the episodes, and in Hacker Public Radio's case, that's over 2,000 episodes, over 3,000 now. Or you have a shorter feed that just covers the latest stuff. But who cares? Apparently, at least three people care because we're here to talk about that. So, which one of you wants to start? Why is it important to not send the whole list every time?
Well, I noticed with HPR in particular, the whole list is 5 megabytes, it says here. So if you're fetching the entire feed 5 megabytes, and your feed reader is fetching that once every hour, and everyone who's listening to HPR is doing this, that's a lot of bytes. At best, just wasteful. But I've also been told that there are clients that will just fall over if you hand them too many entries in a feed. I've been told that iTunes won't handle feeds above some certain size that I gather are fairly well known among podcasters, especially with technical issues with having feeds that have the full history in them.
Yeah, and also apart from the general feeling of wastefulness, I'm using AntennaPod on my mobile, and there, if you waste 5 megabytes one or two times per day, that adds up, and it's actually noticeable in your wallet, possibly.
Yeah, and also there's a lot of websites which will have like even more than 2,000 entries. Like they'll have tens or even hundreds of thousands. Like look at news sites, but like a lot of those sites will just only have like the most recent 30 articles in them. But then what happens if you as a reader you want to like you remember, oh yeah, a couple of months ago I read this thing on this site and I kind of know when it was and I know sort of what it was about, or search engine's really terrible. I wish I could just look for it in my feed reader that and theoretically a feed reader could have a good search mechanism, or it can show you which articles you read or the like. But if your feed reader is only keeping the most recent 30 articles, most readers will discard articles that have fallen out of the feed, that information for how to find the thing that you want to find again.
Yeah, when I find a new podcast, generally I want to find old episodes and see, okay, I like this latest episode that got me here. Now, what other things have they been doing? And then it's pretty annoying if I have to go to the website and search around rather than just having everything in my podcast app.
You wind up having to switch tools, right? You have to switch back and forth between the app that's built the way you want it to be, that's focused on your needs, and the website that's built to be one size fits all, except it's actually one size fits none.
Or one size fits advertisers.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, on occasion I have solved this by finding old feeds through the Internet Archive and piecing them together to have something to feed into my feed reader so that I could. I mean, in the feed reader, I also have search on all the entries and all of that stuff, and I'm missing that when I'm on the website. So there's a solution to this, and it's 13 years old. Why is nobody using this?
I wish I knew. I know, Fluffy, you've said things about
Yeah.
why you
My theories on it. So I mean, RSS and Atom have had some amazing extensibilities, but the readers never really caught on to a lot of the capabilities, or a lot of them were just a minimum implementation. And then when Google Reader got terminated, people thought that was the end of RSS, and everyone just switched over to the, what in the indie web we call silos, as far as like the means of consuming stuff. So people moving over to Facebook and Google Plus, which is also now terminated, of course. But then, like, so all these features that were available in Atom and RSS were just never really implemented at large. And you can kind of see a similar thing happened with XMPP, where XMPP was a really good core of an instant messaging protocol, and then it had an amazing ecosystem of extensions that never got widely supported. And then the bigger adopters of XMPP, in this case also Google, ended up discontinuing their support for XMPP as well, which again made people decide it wasn't worth doing because Google's advertisers weren't finding a way of monetizing it.
Yeah, that's like the ultimate betrayal, right? Google, they adopted XMPP, and everyone who likes XMPP were super excited, like, wow, finally I can talk to other people than my nerdiest friends on this. And then they even added video and voice. And it was like, wow, they're contributing LibJingle and all of these things. And then Google say like, nope, actually we're not doing this. So when was Google Reader terminated? Do you remember? It's a couple, several years now, right?
Yeah, so it was like I don't remember when they, when either of these shutdowns were. They were just so long ago, it feels like the before times.
Google Reader was around 2012, 2011.
So I think Google Buzz came around 2010, and it was terminated pretty soon after it was launched. So I think I'm sure that Google Reader was at least after 2010, but maybe not so far after.
Yeah, I feel like Google Reader was terminated around when Google Plus was rolling out, because I have it in my recollection anyway that Google decided that Google Reader was now obsolete because Google Plus was how everyone was going to share everything.
Yeah, but Google Plus launch feels recent to me, but I think that just means I'm old.
Yeah, no, Google Plus, I think, was 2011.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we're talking about specifically RFC 5005, and it's a pretty simple specification, actually. You can read it in just 15 minutes to get a pretty good grasp of what it's about. There's some details to sort out, but it's not super complicated. It's just a couple of link rel and that's it, really. And you have both been implementing this specification, right?
Yeah, we have.
On both sides, both producer and consumer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been mostly doing it on the producer side, just because that's mostly what I've been developing indie web-wise.
And I've been doing some on each side.
Go ahead. And why do you do it? If you're on the producer side, you have this chicken and egg problem.
Yes.
So you're trying to be the egg.
Pretty much, yeah.
Or it just feels right. Like there's this thing that people should be using.
Yeah, I mean, it's so easy to implement. At least with Pubble, which I my site management system, the whole the RSS feed isn't anything special. It just looks like any other index on the page, on the site rather. And so adding in those two rel tags was the same as adding in the previous and next navigation links on an index. It was just so easy to do. And even if RFC 5005 didn't exist, I was going to just invent link rels for that anyway. And it's just such an obvious name for the rels that they used that I probably would have ended up accidentally doing it independent of the RFC in the exact same way. Well, not quite, because there's the FH archive tag that gets added into indicate whether an archive feed is an archive feed, but other than that, I mean, that was the only thing that that was outside of what I had expected to put in.
The section 4 of RFC 5005, the archived feeds, is a little more complicated than people seem to expect it to be at first glance, for efficiency reasons, and we should maybe go into that some. But section 3 especially looks just like HTML4's link relations of the first prev next last links.
Yeah, I didn't follow that up, but it says there's a note there to Ayana or whoever manages these rel classes.
Yeah, it's
that
Ayana.
Just extend the meaning of the HTML rel class to mean basically this in Atom feeds. So is that a part of HTML4, you said?
I believe it was introduced in HTML4, yeah.
Yeah, well, link rel in general was an HTML4 thing, and it did provide some semantic rels. IndieWeb ended up inventing a whole bunch of new rels for various purposes, but yeah, things like prev, next, up, down, those are Actually, I forget if down is a thing, but in any case, there's
what is up and down.
Well, so up is for like going up a category, I think.
Oh, I see, in a hierarchy. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not sure how down would work because you'd have more than one of those. But, well, I guess you would just have it on multiple. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can have. It's not like an ID. You can have more than one. Yeah.
Yeah. So we mentioned on Fedi before that Mastodon had Atom feeds with paging, and apparently they're gone now because Mastodon doesn't have Atom feeds anymore.
Right.
And it never put them in the RSS feeds.
Right. So,
which you can.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so Mastodon was using Atom because that's what OStatus used. And I don't think it ever implemented 5005 compliant paging.
It did, but it was Section 3 compliant.
But what do you actually need to do? Because when I had a quick glance at 5005, it looked like everything here is basically optional. Just put prev and next and boom, now you're a 5005.
Well, let's go through. There are three major sections to RFC 5005. Section 2 is for complete feeds, which is when you want to declare that everything that appears in this one feed document is everything that there is. If you don't see it here, that's because it's gone or it never existed, right?
No longer applicable.
Yeah. You can do that today, obviously, but what you need is some way of finding out that someone has done that so that you know when you see such a feed whether it makes sense to save old stuff you've seen or not. So Section 2 introduces one tag, which is just the complete tag, and it doesn't have any content, it doesn't have any attributes. It's just an empty tag that you just add to the beginning of your feed, and now you've declared that this is a complete feed. So that one's really easy.
Yeah, so a feed reader that doesn't know about 5005, it will see this feed, and then as the feed changes, it will just accumulate new links.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how it's
configured. But a feed reader that understands 5005 will see this tag, and yeah, okay, I'm going to clear up the old links now that I have the new complete view of this feed.
Right. And the one prominent place I'm aware of that's used Section 2 is the webcomic Pokey the Penguin, which has all 700-something pages of the comic all in one feed. And so I contacted the author and said, hey, how about you add this one tag? And he's like, sure. And so now it's there.
Okay, I thought you were going to say he had like the top 10 most popular top 10 most popular strips or something like that. But it's really the complete feed of all
the complete feed of all comics. Yeah.
There's a couple other web comics that do that. So the web comic Oglaf, which is not safe for work. That one has an accidentally complete feed, but I don't think they have the FH complete tag in it.
I bet there's a lot of feeds, maybe the majority, that are complete but don't say it.
Right. So, I mean, just a lot of things where, like, the website's misconfigured or they didn't understand how a feed works, or they're just treating the feed as a sitemap, basically. So a lot of those cases, like, it's accidentally a complete feed, except it doesn't mark itself as complete.
And then there's the podcasts that occasionally have to go out with a short notice episode, like, hi, sorry, everyone, we've restructured our website, and now you're going to get a lot of old episodes show up.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's Section 2. And then there's Section 3. Section 3 is paged feeds. And paged feeds are like the HTML4 links. You can have first, prev, next, and last tagged links. Those don't have much in the way of semantics. There's some notion that there is a sequence of these feed documents. I don't think there's really any indication of whether some of the entries are newer than others or, you know, what order these are in any sense. My understanding is that section is intended for things like search results. So if you've got something where you do a search and the results are delivered to you as an RSS or Atom feed, then you can have the first page of results be the thing you get immediately, and then it has a link rel equals next, say, to the next page of search results. And you could have some kind of feed reader that would let you choose to explore however far along the chain you want to.
Right, or basically just puts a lot more onus on the, more complexity on the reader itself, where the reader needs to be able to just page back and back and back and back until it sees that, okay, these are all entries I've seen before, and then it just knows how to stop.
But it can't reliably know how to stop.
Yeah, that's true. No, well, I mean, until there's no more links anyway.
Yeah, right.
But so like this is like Tumblr style pagination where it's like /page/5 or whatever. So it's not very stable pagination. Like the meaning of the URL will change as more content rotates through. Yeah. And so I think the intention is that in the case of getting a full archive of a website, this is just, okay, I'm doing a one-time scan of the entire history of the site, and then in the future I will keep up to date just by updating from the most recent page.
Except you can't reliably just update from the most recent page if you do that.
Right. But, I mean, that's sort of an
issue. I think it's even mentioned explicitly that a reader that consumes paged subscription feeds, as they call them, cannot know that it's got all of the entries.
Right.
Because the pages might change as it's traversing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that brings us to section 4, which is archived feeds. And this is where the really interesting part of the specification is. It superficially looks a lot like section 3. You have these prev archive and next archive links. But there's this one requirement that makes this very different, which is that once you've published an archived feed at a given URL, you must not change that in any meaningful way. If you need to change stuff that's in that document, then you need to publish it at a new URL. And that gets kind of weird from an implementation perspective, but the reason it's really important is that means that now a feed reader can just ignore any page at a URL it's already seen. And that lets you really limit what you have to fetch.
Is it implied that the first page is allowed to change?
Yes.
Because
that was not an archived
page. I looked for it, but it didn't seem explicit in the spec to me. But it would have to, because otherwise you don't have a feed.
Right.
Now you just have a dead archive, not a live updating archive.
I thought it was explicit in there, but...
So actually, where in the spec does it say that the archive ones can never change? Oh, I see. It's that the set of entries contained in an archive document published at a particular URI should not change over time. Okay. So technically, I'm not properly implementing section 4.
I think I've actually mentioned that to you before.
Oh, probably.
And it also says explicitly that as a feed reader, when you reach a prev archive that you have seen, you can stop traversing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so,
and that would imply that it has to not have changed.
Yeah, the distinction as far as which ones can change and which ones can't, they define specific terminology. A subscription document, the feed document that always contains the most recently added or changed entries. Archive documents are feed documents that contain less recent entries. And it's the archive documents that once published should not change over time.
So I'm going to lean on the fact that it's RFC speak should means that it can.
So it's should in the sense that, yes, you absolutely can change them. Nobody can stop you. But your readers may not see those changes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, so in the case of on my feeds, like the as things expire from, like I think on my main feed or on my subscription feed, it's always the like 30 most recent entries or something like mm-hmm. that. And then as those fall off, they move into the first archive feed. And so like... If someone is actually subscribed to it, they're still going to get all the content. The assumption I had in my implementation was that something would see, okay, this isn't the subscription feed. I'm going to pick it up and just add that to this thing. And then it would just go back into the archived feeds for like the first time, like the first time someone subscribes to a thing, if it's going to do a shallow mirror of the website or whatever, that it would go back into the... into the prior archived feeds, and also, I mean, so every now and then I'll backfill old content from like the previous iteration of my site. So where does that go? Because I don't necessarily want it to show up as a new entry for everyone who's subscribing, but I also don't But you know, it needs to show up in the archive somewhere, so
right.
It'll get added to the archive anyway.
Yeah, so this gets tricky. I've spent a lot of time thinking very carefully about the requirements in this section, and I think it's one of the most unfortunate things about this spec that that there's very little text here, and it says exactly what the requirements are, but it doesn't tell you why they're important, and mm-hmm. it doesn't tell you how you might satisfy the requirements. One way to deal with things like backfill is to think of your archives as being about last modified date instead of first published date.
Mm.
One thing I was going to point out about you were describing that as things fall off your subscription feed, you add them to the most recent archived or the appropriate archived feed.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe you're doing that by month, right?
That was sort of a, yeah. So month was the, previously I was doing it based on the stable pagination IDs, and you complained about that. So, so I switched it to by month.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so
was that like max ID kind of thing?
Right, or? So I mean, actually the stable pagination IDs might actually be more appropriate then, and I should probably go back to that. So the idea was that, so in Pubble, one of my core tenets is that all pagination should be stable, where if you see, and like if an index gets a snapshot at a particular URL, the content that is on that page should still be visible at that snapshot. So when you paginate my website through like, you know, page level previous and next, it actually uses the ID of the first article that should appear in that index view. So the idea is that, like, it's okay, show me the next 30 entries after ID, you know, 752 or whatever. So what was happening before I switched to month-based archive views was it was so every entry basically got its own archive feed associated with it. And so that archive feed would include that entry and then the 30 before it. And so those were perfectly stable. It's just that now you've got basically one feed per entry and there's lots of overlap between them. And so that just that becomes another issue in terms of like how is the client going to actually interpret this?
Yeah, I think the result of that was that
basically you have 30 different feeds, right?
Effectively changing all of the URLs for all of the archive pages every time you added a new.
And so basically every, well, not every, not the entire history every time, because every 30 entries,
that's
they
true.
Would
once
line up again.
Once you've seen 30 new entries, then yes.
So okay, yeah, one of the big, but yeah, one of the big shortcomings in 5005 is it doesn't say anything about how readers are supposed to interpret anything, and in fact, it doesn't even say anything about like what previous or next mean in terms of like is previous the older stuff or is it like the next page of this index or what? So it's hard to really interpret what the RFC is supposed to mean in practical senses. In the practical
I will
sense.
Say section 4.2, yeah. Which is titled Consuming Archived Feeds, does say a little bit about how readers are expected to work, but it's, what is this, four paragraphs?
Yeah.
It's very short.
Yeah, 4.1 is funny because it says publishers should construct their feed documents in such a way as to make duplicate removal unambiguous, and this is C section 4.2, and then it's not really clear how you do
right.
that.
No, that's the second.
It just says that, yeah, you should have timestamps.
No, the second.
That's
the second
what
paragraph
says.
Of 4.2 is, or sorry, the...
Oh, yeah, it does.
It does talk it about duplicates.
It does, yeah. I should consider only the most recently updated entry, and then it mentions that you should have the last updated date mm-hmm. on the entry.
Yeah.
But then also with Adam...
So it does actually say...
There's also a notion of because archives, the archive documents are in a particular order... you can talk about what the most recent archive document is. So you take the version of the entry from the most recent archive document where it appears, if you can't figure out based on timestamps.
Mm-hmm.
Does it say
yeah.
that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Otherwise, it's determined by its feed level Atom updated element.
I'm looking at the previous paragraph, actually. If duplicate entries have the same timestamp or no timestamps are available, the entry sourced from the most recently updated feed document should replace all other duplicates of that entry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
But that's okay. Also a fiddly implementation detail that's not an important one, as opposed to the big questions that we'd have about the actual consumption and like the deduplication of the feed itself. So, like, I mean, in general, I lean on the fact that Atom uses UIDs for everything. And mm-hmm. so, like the idea is that if any two separate feeds refer to the same UID, they should have the same content anyway. So if you've got conflicts between two versions of the feed, then that, you know, I guess it's just whichever one you see most recently wins. So,
well, I don't think there's any reason to say that that two entries should have the same content, because you're allowed to change entries over time.
Well, sure, but I mean, like, if you have, I'm using a very Pubble centric view of things.
They should logically point to the same identity.
They should, yeah. They should be equivalent to pointing to the same URL, even if the URL is something that changed. So, if you see, like, you know, UUID 12345 in two different feeds, but with the same target domain, I guess. I mean, technically, it should be even across domains, but if for obvious security reasons, you don't want to do that. But you should have it so that if you've got multiple feeds pointing to the same entry with the same UID, they should, in any reasonable implementation, in my opinion, have the same content as well.
I think what's going on with RFC 5005, when it was published in 2007, it looks to me like the assumption was that people were publishing static documents, not using dynamic generation for their feeds.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea was that, like, maybe you take your current feed document and you rename it to be the archive for the current month, and then you leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need to update something that was in the archives, you copy it into your current feed document, but you don't touch the old copy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was important to be able to figure out what to do with it in that case.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to be the common case now, because we're almost nobody handwrites their RSS feeds. I can think of like two counterexamples, but
yeah, like questionable content. Questionable content and Diesel Sweeties, they handwrite their RSS still for some reason.
I was thinking of something positive.
They do too? Okay.
Yeah.
What is it with like the old school web cartoonists who all do
that?
Well,
I know Randy of Something Positive is very proud of the fact that because there's no code running on his server, there's nothing to attack.
Yeah, but you can have...
But we do that with static site generators these days.
I know, I've been meaning to have that conversation with him someday.
So I was thinking how you do this with a static site generator, mm-hmm. and I thought maybe you list all of the, for example, blog articles that you have. And then if you start from the end and you take every 15 and chunk them, then that would be stable even when you add things at the front. And then the head document could be a dynamic number of entries from 15 to 30 and then list to the top archive from there.
Yeah, the one thing to think about is then what if you do go edit any of the old entries or delete an old entry? Or backfill something right. So that its publication date is old.
Well, so then deletion has its own separate RFC that almost no one implements. I do,
right.
But almost no one does. The tombstones, or Atom tombstones, which where you basically have a little stub entry at the time of deletion, which I didn't always do until you corrected me on this. But at the at the time of deletion, the Atom feed has a little tombstone that just gives at least the GUID and the deletion time of the entry, and right. So then the and then that tells readers, of which none support as far as I know, but in theory it tells readers, okay, this item has been deleted. So
yeah, but in the case of static site generators in particular, you may not know that there was an article there, mm-hmm. or a post there.
Yeah, you would have to store state
right.
somewhere,
right. And you frequently don't have state. So there's a different approach you can take for a static site generator, and this is what I did in the pull request for the Jekyll feed plugin that, for whatever reason, never got merged. Which is
it's not closed,
right? Right.
So it might get merged anyway.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, they acknowledged that I fixed all the issues they had with it, and then they just ignored it. But what I did with that was generate a page of the oldest 10 entries or whatever, compute a hash over the contents of that page, use that hash in the URL of that page, and then generate the next page linking to that, compute a hash over that, and so on. So it's sort of the Merkle tree kind of approach to archived feed.
Yeah, that's something like that I had in mind as well, but I didn't think about the changing contents as well. But I mean, that is the easy way. If you have, okay, I have these last 15 entries, the 15 oldest entries, what should I name this file? Then taking a hash is the kind of
Yeah,
obvious
and it
way.
lets you avoid having to keep any state to do this correctly.
Yeah, but it still means you're going to have several different versions of your complete archive feed as history changes.
Yeah, although you don't have to host the old versions. It's okay if you delete those old URLs. You just can't rely on people seeing if you change things at those old URLs.
Yeah, when you change the head of the whole chain, that means people need to refetch the whole
Yes, so
feed.
that's a little unfortunate, right? But hopefully, I mean, what I expect is that most changes happen in the most recent posts, and it's just every once in a while you touch something older.
All right. So I didn't know there was so much about this 1 or 2 page document that I was reading the other day. This has been really cool. Thank you. So I'm Klacke. You can find me on the free social web, klacke@libranet.de. And what about you?
So I'm Fluffy. You can see all my stuff at beesbuzz.biz, which is somehow easier to say out loud than to spell. I'm not sure why. Also, queer.party/fluffy is my Mastodon presence.
And I'm Jamie. I spell my name weird, so it might be easier to find. My website is minilop.net, which just shows how much webcomics have been a part of my life, because that's a reference to Bun Bun the Mini Lop from Sluggy Freelance.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah, it's a comic I haven't read for years, but when I needed a domain name in 2003. Minilop.net is, you'll find my blog there. I'm also on Mastodon at jamie@toot.cat. And I would love to chat with people about any questions about how to implement RFC 5005. I have a lot of a lot of opinions about this. I put a lot of thought into it. I've done an implementation of a WordPress plugin that you could use if you want to publish RFC 5005 feeds on your WordPress blog. So yes, please talk to me. Please implement this. Please add this to your favorite thing. Please go find the issue tracker for your favorite tools and ask them to do it. Let's make this happen.
And if you like interviews with Jamie, actually, you've been on HPR
I have
before,
been.
11, 9 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, talking about my work
Talking
on
about your
Xorg.
ex-org work. Yeah. That is episode 825, if you'd like to hear that. That's been a while.
Yeah.
Are you still doing ex-org stuff now?
Not much. I try to keep kind of an eye on it. I haven't actually contributed any patches for quite a while
Okay, but I was trying to round this off, so I'll stop myself there from following anything up. Until next time, this has been Hacker Public Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Ba 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 bum 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 bum.